Good morning. Today we are going to talk about how it is so easy to become overwhelmed in your garden, especially starting this time of year. You know, the garden is getting so much bigger. It's starting to produce things for production and harvest and to create things, to make things, to can and freeze things, on top of still having all the other maintenances and everything else. So we're going to kind of go into this because I know I'm not the only one. If you have a garden or a really large garden and you're really into harvesting and creating things from your garden, it's very easy to get overwhelmed this time of year. So one of the things that I always do to help with that feeling of overwhelming is creating a list. Sorry if there's a little bit of wind, but I am outside. It's hard to sit in the house when you've got this garden outside ready to be sat in and to talk in and hear all the nature and see all the nature around you. And it's just, this is also very calming. I always think it's very important to have some point of time within the day to have just a relaxing moment in your garden. Otherwise, all you're going to see your garden as is work. And our time is in the morning. So I always come out here and have either my tea or my coffee and just kind of, you know, sit and relax and listen. Some days I'll do more of a meditation, but sometimes just listening and looking around is my form of meditation and just taking it in and kind of taking deep breaths in and taking them out and just really enjoying and just being in that moment. Presence always helps manage stress. Breath work is amazing for handling anxiety and when you're starting to feel like the list of things is piling up. And the list of things piles up within our heads. And when you don't put it on paper, we're really just looping that list in our head over and over and over. And mainly just because we don't want to forget any of those things on our mental list. So that's why writing things down on an actual physical list is what helps us get those thoughts out of our head onto paper, and then we don't have to worry about it. We just go down that list, do the things, cross them off, and get it done. When it's in our head, we're not doing the things. We're not crossing them off. We just keep thinking about all of these things, and we become unproductive. And when I say we, I mean me. This is how I am this time of year. And that's why making the list has been so helpful in the garden, especially this time. And with anything in life, even if you aren't, you know, as into your garden, if you don't have a big garden, you don't get overwhelmed. You're like, oh, what's the big deal? I just water a few things a day, pick as needed, and then we eat, you know, whatever we grow. There's not enough to do this or that, or, you know, and that's fine. But, you know, you have other things in life too, you know, a schedule with the kids, with your work, and all the balances of everything that comes up in life and all the stresses and everything that's put in front of us, you know. So always managing through lists and writing it down is very important. And if you're not one to make a list and write it down, then, you know, use your phone, use the notes app or whatever app you have on there that, you know, makes it simple to take it out of your head and to lessen your load a little bit. So that's kind of what we're doing today. And this morning I really had to do that because it's that time of year where I start getting really overwhelmed. So when we were on vacation last week, our harvest for lavender was really at its point and peak of harvesting it. And we kind of missed that point a little bit, but we can still harvest it and distill it and create our sprays from it. And that's kind of what I've been doing. And we are actually coming out with a video showing how we distill. We just kind of share the process because I just think it's a really cool and fun process to share with the distiller. And, you know, we kind of go into detail about like how we should have already harvested the lavender, what it should look like, but what it looks like now. And we go more into detail in that video that'll be coming out later this week. But then from that, we make, you know, sprays. So we distilled it the other day and I ran out of my spray bottles. So now today I have to create the sprays from the last distillation process, but I also have to make sure to harvest everything as soon as possible to keep distilling to get more sprays, so that way we have more for the sore throughout the winter. So that's a big project, and that's very like, you have to get it done now. That's not something where you're like, okay, well, if I don't get it done, not a big deal. We'll do it tomorrow or the next day, or, you know, every day the lavender becomes less and less potent and less filled with the oil and the really fragrant scent that you need for an aromatherapy spray, or for even just drying it and using it for future projects and mixtures and creations. So it's kind of like a, you know, you got to get it done now sort of a thing. So I have that on my list for today and for tomorrow, because this won't be just one day of a project. And then another thing we have to do is finish planting up the rest of our plants. And those are the plants that we are selling. So I already got half of them planted up, and they've been planted up for 2 weeks now. So the next batch will be needed to get planted up this week. So if I don't get it done today, that's one of those things that is okay, but it needs to be done by mid to late week. Otherwise, we kind of miss our window for getting those things into a larger pot and allowing it to root for selling to others for like our pop-up shops. So another thing too is we've had a few other people interested that aren't local in the plants, so we have to make sure that those plants are getting shipped. So those are getting shipped as they are, so they're not going to be bumped up into anything larger. So as soon as they receive them, they will have to get planted up into a pot in fresh soil, so they're going to need a new home as soon as they're received. So shipping them, you know, that takes time too. So we got to kind of collect the best of those plants and make sure that those get out to who they need to go out to and get to the UPS store and get that shipped out. And we have another video too that I'm also editing. We did hire someone this year to help us with videoing and editing. So at this point, we've been doing a lot of training, because it's not like you just hire someone and then it works out right away. So we've been kind of going back and forth and training and trying to, you know, teach them a few additional things. And so the video part was quite, it was very tough in the beginning. And so we actually just took on the videoing ourselves. They've edited about 3 or 4 videos so far out of all the videos we put out, because we still edit a lot of our own videos too. And then there were some problems with that, so we had to have a meeting with that. So as of right now, we just really are videoing and editing ourselves, and we'll see if, you know, this is something that this person wants to continue doing. So we don't really know how this is all going to work out yet, so we kind of have all that going on in the background too. And also, the biggest thing, the kids are home from school. So with the kids being home from school for the summer, I never want my kids to feel like they come second to anything. The kids are the most important thing. Like, it's very important to also obviously make an income and money, but Jason works full time, so we really depend on his income for our household. And so that's why he is more so just like, you know, everything with the kids is, you know, my job. That's part of my territory. But the hours that I put in with what I do in the garden and everything else is a full-time job. But on top of that, I'm also helping. I'm also the main caretaker of our children. You know, I'm mom. So I want to be there for them, and I don't ever want them to feel like they're coming in second. So, but the income that I make is actually very important as well. Jason's in the home building industry and realty business, and there's always up and downs depending on the economy. And based on kind of like what's going on now with the economy and the markets, and, you know, it's kind of like all over the place right now. And it's sometimes a little uncertain. Like, we always feel good about it because Jason's like such like a hard worker, and he really, truly likes what he does. So I never really worry about that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's why I do feel, and he feels as well, like me continuing doing what I'm doing is also equally as important, because it's always nice to have that extra little cushion during times where things slow down and get a little harder. And I always think it's good to have additional side hustles on top of everything you do, because, you know, you never know what life's going to throw at you. And at least you always have, like, you know, a backup and things to kind of depend on. And I always believe that, you know, a lot of people think that they're only good at one thing or they're only limited to one thing, but I believe we're all multi-talented. So I always say, you know, take time to also see what other talents you have and what other passions you have and what other things you have, and create that to be one of your additional side hustles to create some additional income. And it's always important to make additional income because it's, you know, at any point in time, no matter what the economy is or what's going on in the world. And it's always just really great to have that extra little income, even if it's just in your savings or for something additional that you really want. Because in life, you know, it's really nice to be able to enjoy the things that you want and not just having to buy all the things that you just need. Life's about enjoyment. Overall, you know, like, we really enjoy our work, but I do enjoy other things too. You know, there's things that I really want. There's things that I already have that side hustles have been able to pay for. Like, you know, I consider what I do as of right now my side hustle, only because being a mom is my number one job in everything I do in the garden and with meals and with getting them ready and making sure they're happy and their love tanks are full. That is a full-time job. And, you know, maintaining the house and stuff. And so, and it doesn't make me any money, but it's creating, you know, really great human beings in the process. So I feel like that's a big mission of mine and purpose of mine in life. So, but creating the income that we did has been able to afford us our garden, our greenhouse. And that's, you know, what's kind of cool about doing what you love is you're able to afford to create something even cooler and create your dreams into reality when you make money with what you love. So I just always think that's really neat. You know, like, the work that, you know, we've done online with gardening and with videos, with, you know, collaborations, all that kind of stuff has been able to allow us to create this beautiful garden. So yeah, it all costs money, but it also has taken us like eight years now to actually create what we have so far. And yes, of course I want more. I always, you know, we're humans. We always want more. Am I happy if there wasn't more? Yes. I'm very happy and very, you know, content. But it's always fun. Like, to me, it's always exciting taking on a new project. I love new projects. I love, like, changing things, adding things. And gardening isn't my only passion. I have other passions that I equally love just as much as gardening. And I actually, you know, it's funny because when I started doing this, we actually started doing the home and garden. And then gardening just kind of like took off. So we just kind of started focusing more on gardening. And even though that was like a really good thing because things are growing with that, people love that. And I know it's a skill of mine. I know that it's one thing that I'm really, really good at, you know, and I know it's something that I can share and help others with. But it's not my only passion, you know, and sometimes if you create one thing to be your only passion that you're putting out there, yeah, it helps you become more successful when you niche down a lot quicker. But, you know, you also kind of feel like a part of you is a bit missing because you're no longer sharing some of those other aspects of your passions. And so you kind of feel a little bit limited as time goes on. Because now, like, say, if I'm posting a home decorating and home designing video on our garden channel, people are going to be like, I want to see more gardening. Like, people get really rude sometimes, you know. And it's kind of like, you know what? Like, it's free. It's all free. Everything you're watching here is free. If you don't want to watch, you don't have to click on it. The title is obvious. Like, you guys will realize and notice that, like, we do not do clickbait, like, thumbnails or titles. Like, we title and thumbnail as is. Like, it is what it is. And if you see that a video says that I'm decorating for Christmas or designing a bathroom, like, that's what it is. So if you want to see just gardening, then, you know, that's just obviously not one then that you click on. And so my thing too is, you know, we live in Wisconsin, so our gardening season isn't very long. So we niched into something that, yeah, I'm really good at. Yeah, we do have a greenhouse in the winter time, but it gets so icky here that you really can't grow anything outside of these, you know, 4 or 5 months. And then what? I'm supposed to just do videos inside my greenhouse or do home plant videos inside my house? Like, that gets really boring for me. And that's kind of why we do go on a little bit of a break during the holidays. I am so busy with creating this magical experience for my family inside the home. Like, what you see in the garden is what I do in my home in the off season. And I love decorating. Halloween decorations start in August. I know a lot of people are like, oh, that's way too early. But I don't decorate just by putting a few things up and then we're celebrating Halloween. It's like an experience to where, like, everything in the house gets taken down and everything gets transitioned. And it takes me like 1 to 2 weeks in order to do this, because it's not like I can just do this for hours on end. Like, you know, I'm still doing everything I do in between. And August season is still a garden month too. So I'm kind of doing that in between. So that way I'm finished by September 1st. And then we can enjoy these beautiful, fun, magical decorations for 2 months. And then November 1st comes and it's like everything fall and Halloween comes down. And then we kind of transition for those next 2 weeks. Next, I would say like the next week and 2 weeks, yeah. But then we transition into all of the winter and Christmas decorations. And yes, we still celebrate Thanksgiving. We love Thanksgiving. It's a huge celebration for us. We just celebrate it with green and red, or whatever color we decided on that year, instead of orange and brown. That's all the difference is, you know. And everyone's like, oh, well, then you're not celebrating Thanksgiving. No, like, I decorate way too much to only enjoy it from December 1st to December 25th, you know? So like, I can't do that late. And by then it's like, it's already like in December, all I want to do is crafting with my kids, you know, doing fun crafts and, activities and, just playing around. And they love running, like riding their scooters around the house in the Christmas land. And it's just such a magical time for them, you know, and everything. I even do a big foyer display like you would see at a store. And even last year, I mean, we didn't buy anything new. Like, I've just accumulated a lot over the years. Even when I was younger, I always decorated my room. It was like Christmas land or Halloween land, or, you know, and we don't do anything scary for Halloween. Our kids are young and I don't like anything really spooky or scary, but like, we do like kids spooky, you know, like fun spooky, nothing that has like blood dripping down it. We just show, like, you know, a ghost, but the ghost is smiling, you know, like we keep it pretty G in the house, you know? So it's just like that fun, and everything's like shiny coppers and golds, and we have a lot of like black accents and lace, and we have like the mad scientist area and like the potions area and the witch's brooms, and we have like the golden stars, and it's kind of like, I don't know, it almost feels like a little bit like of a Hocus Pocus mixed with like a Harry Potter, mixed with Casper, you know, like we like to give it like that old, like mansion kind of a feel, like haunted mansion, but not like creepy haunted mansion. And I just love creating these spaces, and it's really comfortable and fun to live in at those times. Like, my favorite is ultimately fall time to be in the house. It's really fun and cozy, and it's fun then watching the gardens change outside the windows when you're inside the home, because they start getting kind of a little bit more and more less vibrant green and becoming more lime green to kind of like a orange accent. Then everything turns brown because we leave everything in the garden, and it just has like that feeling during that time. So it's always just fun to have that. So that's why I always say, you know, it's always fun to explore your other passions. As you can see, I went off on another talking binge of another passion. So I don't know, maybe you'll be able to sense and pick up the passion that I have for that too. And so it's like, for me in the off season, let's get back to what we were talking about, you know, having like your business being gardening in the state of Wisconsin, when it's like, you can only really garden for so long. It's like, I don't want to really garden in those months. I don't want to garden in those months because we do so much in the months that it is the garden that I don't want to garden inside my home. We harvest, we can, we freeze. I don't need to be doing all this gardening and prepping in the off season. That's kind of my time to do more of my education, to do my seed orders. We experience the experience within our greenhouse so we can still grow things. It's just one of those times where, you know, you kind of need that recovery a little bit from the amount that's put on you during these months. And that's what I really do enjoy about the off season. But once we're starting to get into the end of February and March and we're ready for that garden and the garden still can't go in, it just starts getting frustrating because Wisconsin is just like, come on, is spring coming? There's more like 10 seasons in Wisconsin rather than four, because spring is like a week and then we jump into summertime in May. So it's really, really odd weather. I mean, we even can get like snowstorms in April and it's like, but we still try to get like cold crop stuff late May, March into the garden and in April into the garden. So even when there's snowfall, it doesn't really matter. The cold crops are become already acclimated to the temperatures, so it doesn't really harm them. But yeah, I mean, we just really, you know, try to do what we can do during the season that we have it. And so that's kind of my thing right now, you know, is we've always taken a break during those months just because, you know, there's not really a ton to show. And maybe there is, and we're just like, oh, there's not a ton to show. But other people are like, oh, no, there's a lot to show. Like, you guys are doing a lot, you know, like maybe somebody would see it different than we do. I don't know. Maybe you could let us know, and you can always let us know on YouTube or whatever. I don't go on Instagram as often. I always feel like if you're not like wanting to be like an influencer there, like you don't really need to be there all the time. Unless you're trying to get someone to, you know, your website or trying to expand your businesses in other areas, then yeah, that's fine. But I don't really, you know, we're kind of in a point right now where we're trying to just spread our time out equally in all directions. And we're just trying to choose what's the most important at the moment. And on our path and our journey right now, certain avenues and certain platforms just aren't, you know, up there on the list right now. And that's just where we're at this year. Every year it changes because every year your business will change. It'll evolve. You'll find that you need to put your focus and attention in other areas and in specific areas than you did the year before. And you just keep growing and evolving. And that's really good. So never feel like because you're taking a step back from something else to put it into something else that you're falling behind. Because if you feel like you're falling behind, that means that you're comparing yourself to others, and you just really can't do that, because if we compare ourselves to others, we're comparing ourselves to what they're posting, and what a lot of times people are posting is really not even what they're doing or what they're feeling or what their success really is like. You know, like what someone is doing is their own thing that they're doing. Like they're maybe, you know, feeling great that day, they're feeling successful that day, and that's what that post is showing. And maybe you're like, well, I'm not really posting as much because I'm, you know, putting more time over here. I'm not spending as much time there. And so you're seeing yourself as not being as successful. And that's okay because you're building something somewhere else too. Wherever you plan on spending your time is where you're going to have more success. So always just keep that in mind. And always know too, while you're building beyond one platform or two platforms or three platforms, it's always going to slow down those other platforms as you're trying to build outside of those. And that's okay because in the long run, that's going to be the most beneficial for your online business because you're building on other things everywhere, which creates everyone to find you a lot easier. So I always say expand outside of one area. You know, and always have a website for a hub. Always have a website for a hub. That's key. because your website can host all of your other avenues and areas. So today we're also going to be picking some raspberries and peas. Our raspberries are just filled with raspberries, and the kids actually just go out there and pick a bowl every morning. So it's not like we have like a ton that we need to like go out there and pick and harvest, you know, like becomes like our breakfast. That's what I love about this time of year, is we just come outside to eat our meals. Like as more and more vegetables become available too, we just come out and eat our meals. And then a lot of times we'll just plop some meat over the fire or on our grill. And then that's the dinner. Like we're not cooking. We're just, I mean, you're obviously grilling or throwing meat over the fire, but we're not cooking our vegetables or anything like that. We're just really literally eating them, unless they're going over the fire or the grill. And so the house stays cleaner that way, you know, less pans, less, you know, heat being in the house. So it's easier to keep it cool. So, you know, it's just that wonderful time of year where I'm not like having to be like, okay, you guys want like, you know, we're going to do toast, eggs, and bacon, you know, which obviously is a great lumberjack breakfast, you know, I'll take it. But this time of year, it's like, okay, we're going to go out and grab a bowl. We're going to go eat our breakfast in the garden and, you know, eat some berries. And then, you know, obviously sometimes some toast, you know, we like to make our own bread. I got a bread maker over the winter because I was always terrible at making bread. I gave it so many shots too. I'm not one to give up if I don't do something good. I'm like, I got to figure this out. And I could never get it right with the yeast. I could never get anything to rise. And my mom was like, use, you know, room temperature water. I'm like, I am using room temperature water. And I'd even go over there and then I'd mix it. And then she'd be like, you're right. Yours still isn't rising, you know? And I'm like, I don't know what it is. So finally I was like, that's enough. So I got a bread maker and voila, we got bread. Yesterday I made these homemade cheddar breadsticks. Oh my goodness. They tasted just like those Cheddar Bay biscuits from Red Lobster, but homemade. So no chemicals, all organic flour and sugar. You know, oh, and a lot of times people always say too to use like the almond flour, but I just can't. I never do great with like nut-based items. Like I get a little like sick, and then it's like I kind of lose like a little bit of like breath when I eat anything like that. So I kind of have to be careful sometimes. I believe it's an allergy. I've never been actually diagnosed, but I do believe it's that. But walnuts especially, it's like I will eat a walnut and all of a sudden it's like and my mom's like, yeah, that's an allergy. And, you know, I'm like, Mom, why didn't you tell me there's walnuts in these cookies? She's like, the cookies are for the kids. I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, she knows when we're all on diets, you know, whatever. But anyway, so, you know, we made these homemade cheddar breadsticks, and they were amazing. And the longer you bake them, the crunchier they get. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, oh my gosh, I should make these extra crunchy, because we're always buying those crunchy Asiago cheese breadstick things. They come in like this blue bag. Oh my goodness, they are so delicious. So I think I'm going to make them a little different next time with those types of cheeses, because I had cheddar in the house, but it called for sharp cheddar. So then I used a mozzarella provolone mix. And then I used some Parmesan as well and some Monterey. So I did like a complete concoction of different cheeses mixed together inside of this dough mixture that I created. It was really, really good. But I then topped it off with like, I marinated some fresh chopped garlic within some avocado oil. I use avocado oil for like everything. I have been for like years, and now you're hearing about it come out like as being like a really good oil, can cook on high temp. Everyone's using this avocado oil now, and they're finally catching on. There's like no bad flavor. It's actually really, really good. So we kind of like marinated some fresh chopped garlic in there, and then I took like a basting brush and just like brushed it onto like the breadsticks when they were like about halfway baked. And then I brushed it on, and then I also topped it with a little bit of like Parmesan, and then put it back in to bake the rest of the way. And oh my goodness, oh my gosh, it was so delicious. It was so good. And I'm not usually a big bread eater. I don't really like crave bread. but these were really, really delicious. So if I were to make them crunchy, then it would be very hard for me to kind of stay away from the bread. So maybe it's better that I keep them soft so I don't make them crunchy and then eat them all. And it's like, wouldn't want that to happen because then it's, oh man, you know, bread, you know what it does. You know what it does, but it's good. Anyways, this time of year, though, it's way easier to eat healthy just because of everything, you know, coming into season, and especially the peas. We love peas. Our favorite variety to grow is Maxigold. It's a shelling pea, and the peas get so large. They get like 7 to 8 peas per shell, and it's so good. Maxigold. And we always try to get our peas really early because they always sell out. And of course, I always do some sugar snaps because the kids do like an edible pod too. I'm fine with or without the sugar snaps because the Maxigold are really sweet shelling peas. But they like it, so I do it for them because they eat just as many. And anything that my kids like that's healthy, I am willing to grow a field of it to keep them healthy. You know, and that's what I always say is like, you know, a lot of people are always like, what do I grow? I'm growing my first garden, or I'm growing this in my garden, but I don't know what else to grow. I'm like, what do you eat a lot of? What do you love eating? Then you just literally grow that. Like, you know, I'm always like, stop growing what you're not going to eat, you know, unless you're just absolutely just having fun and wanting to try something, even though you don't like it, fine. Because the enjoyment part of growing things is also equally fun and important in the garden. But if you're really just limited to space and, you know, you don't know what to grow, just grow what you eat. And that's just perfect. Also grow some flowers alongside that, so that way you get, you know, more beneficials and pollinators into your garden to help you. They're really good little troopers in the garden to help get those bad bugs, but also pollinate, and it's really nice. So we're going to get going because I do have to still feed the bunnies water, feed Fuzzy and Chili, and harvest some calendula. I like to harvest the calendula right away in the morning because that's when it opens up and it's the most fresh. And we're going to let that go ahead and soak so we get any of the bugs off of it. And then we're going to let it dry in our drying rack. We did put a video out about how we harvest and dry our calendula when there was just two or three flowers available at the time. But we showed it because I'm like, I know as soon as the rest of the calendula is ready, there's going to be a million other things ready in the garden. So let's just get this information out right away so that way we at least get it out, because sometimes there's so many things to show, we don't even get to show it all in a season. So, all right. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast today. I know I can talk on and on and on, but I love talking here. It's like my main time that I'm able to talk and share with you different, you know, things we're doing in the garden, things we're doing in life, and any way that I can help you within a podcast. I hope I'm able to do that and you're able to get that from this podcast as well. So thank you so much for listening, and we will talk with you again next time.